Hey, we're starting a brand new series today called Faith in Action. And if you're our guest today, you picked a perfect day to be here because you're going to get to kick off with us one of the, I think, most powerful series that we will probably do here. And it's going to have an ongoing effect in your life and in the life of our community. We have five different places that you can participate on our outreach day. Now, here's what's going to happen. Let me just make it very clear. We're going to have three Sundays starting today that are going to be sermons about putting your faith into action. Today, we're going to talk about divine detours, and then next week, another thing, and the next week, another thing. But then, on that fourth Sunday, which will be October the 3rd, we are going to do everything different. How many of you like about shaking stuff up? We're going to shake it up around here. We're not going to have service on that day here in the building. We're going to have service out in our community. And here's what we're going to do. At 8 o'clock, we're going to have breakfast. We'd like for everybody to be on time. Be here, eat breakfast together, enjoy fellowship for a little bit, get with your team and your team leader, get all set up, and try to be on the job site by about 9 o'clock. We'll work for 2 or 3 hours, and somebody will be bringing you a sandwich lunch while you're out there, and I'll explain that in just a minute. And then when you get done with your project, you'll be able to go home. But what a beautiful opportunity to touch our world in Jesus' name. Amen? So there's five different places over there. Let me explain those to you. First of all, we have an opportunity of helping Cindy Kramer, part of our congregation, move. And John O's group, Jonathan Kramer, is going to be one of our team leaders. And in his group, they're going to get together and go to Cindy's apartment she lives in now and get all her stuff in a truck. We've got a moving truck. We're going to put it all in there, take it over to her new apartment and get her all moved in. And then they're going to go out to another lady, Michelle Bird, which happens to be one of Cindy's clients, and do yard work. That's one team. Okay, and then we have a team that's going to have Jacob right back there as a team leader. And he's going to be going to Loretta's house with about 8 men. We need 8 men on that group. And they're going to be pulling up stumps and burning stumps. And if you want a good hard work and you can work hard, please sign up for that one. Jacob's going to need your help. He needs, healthy young guys, anybody that's strong, because they're going to do some hard work there. But you'll be really glad to help Loretta at her home. And if you have weed eaters, gas-powered weed eaters, they need that. And if you have a riding lawnmower that they can borrow for that day, please let Jacob know before October 3rd so we can get all those needs met. That's another job. That's another way you can participate. And he'll need about 8 people on that team. And then we're going to have probably where the majority of you will go. If you can do this, you can do this job. Okay? Can you do this? Everybody try this. How about this? Can you do this? All right. If you can do that, you can do it. What we're going to do is go, and I can't think of a better place to go. We're going to go to Veterans Park and Moore, which is on 4th and Bryant. And what a way to honor the veterans, right? Of our community. And there's this pipe, the fence, it's about that big around. Every once in a while something goes down to the ground, and it's about 1 mile long, okay, a fence, and we're just going to paint that black. City is providing all the paintbrushes. They're going to have latex gloves. If you want to do that, use those. And they're going to have buckets of paint, and we're going to paint 1 mile of pipe fence for the city of Moore as a project. Out there, when we go out to the park, it's going to be kind of an interesting job because if it's a nice day, there's going to be people out there. And they're going to be wondering what you're doing and why you're out here. We're going to have our Faith in Action banners out set up out at that job site. And you'll be able to talk to people if you want, or somebody there can, about the Lord. Now, Pastor Kenton and Pastor John are going to be overseeing that. They're the team leaders on that. The reason why is because it's all spread out. So we'll put one leader on each end and try to work to the middle and get that whole fence painted, that pipe fence painted in that one day. Now, you say, oh, man, I can't do this or this. I can't pull stumps. I'm too old, decrepit. Or lazy. No, I don't want to say that. Or I can't move furniture or whatever. Maybe that's you and you can't do that. Well, we have a place for you. This is particularly for our Crown Ministry, which is our senior adults. They will, right after breakfast is cleaned up, they're going to be in there making lunches and getting them all together, and they're going to bring lunch out to the workers. And so if you just can't find another place to serve, then you can sign up for that and help our Crown Ministries do the lunch. And it's not going to be a heavy lunch. You're probably still going to want to go out to lunch later, but or dinner or something. But it'll be a sandwich and some chips and cookies and stuff like that. And there's one more place you can serve, and that's in the nursery. We need about five or six, or not in the nursery, in children's ministry, about five or six people that can help. Diane's going to be on that team. Because we're going to have both nurseries going and super church going the entire time. Well, that's too much on one person to be in a nursery for that long. So we're going to have people rotating in and out. Diane's going to get the kids together, going to do some dance things, some almost like vacation Bible school type things. They'll eat lunch here. The children will have super church, and these workers will help support that. So we'll just wherever the need is with children's ministry, if that's something you can help us with, then you'll sign up on that one. And Rebecca's the team lead for that. And you can, if you're already scheduled for the nursery that day, then we want you to be working in the nursery. But if you're in the nursery that day and you really want to do one of these other projects, just let us know. We'll get you signed up on another project, get somebody to take your place in the nursery, okay? So there's a place for everyone in this room right now to serve on October 3rd. Now, I want to say this to parents. If you have older children that are usually go to super church, but they would like to help serve on one of these things, and you'll be responsible for them and help them, then feel free to take your children to the work site as well, because we want them to learn to serve the Lord in a real way. Now, I'm going to just be honest with you, okay? We obviously, as a church, small church, we can't go a whole Sunday without an offering. So bring your offering to breakfast, and we'll have a place for you to give your offering that morning, just as though you were in church and handed the bag in front of you. So please bring your offerings to the Lord. That's what helps us be able to pay for what we need to do this project and other projects like it. Okay? So be faithful in your giving. We'll give you a place to do that at the breakfast time together. All right? Now, I hope that sounds as fun to you as it does to me, because I am pumped. Now, look, let me tell you this. Listen to me closely. There's a group of Satanists coming to our city in October, and they're making a big, loud noise about coming to one of the major city buildings in the heart of our city. And also the atheists and the reasoning group, that's the people who think they can reason stuff together, but they really don't quite have it yet, put up a big billboard over by the state fair that says, if don't believe in God, join the club. So we got the atheists working. We had a pastor down in Florida who decided he wanted to burn the Koran. Thank you that he decided against that, at least at this point. And we have Muslims want to build a mosque at Ground Zero, about two blocks from where the Twin Towers were. So we've got a lot of negative stuff happening in the world and in our city. So I believe that New Beginning Fellowship Church can make a difference by doing something positive. And I can't think of a better place to do it than right here in our city and in our area to touch not only people in our church and their needs, but also to touch our community in Jesus' name. So in contrast to all the evil stuff that's trying to go on, let's do something positive and put our faith into action. If you believe in Jesus and you believe in the work of God, then what you're going to want to do is put that into action. We can't just sit in a church building for the rest of our life and feel good about it. We got to get out there and touch our world in Jesus' name. Amen? So let's do it. Let's go for it. And let's be people faithful to the task. All right, we're going to talk about divine detours today, and we're going to see how you would do this. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and John, come and help me. Pastor John, come in here. And let's say we're going to have several people answer this question on the microphone before we look at the video. Let's say you're going down the street in Oklahoma City somewhere, or metro area, and you see two signs. One says, take your normal route. Okay? Take your normal route. And the other one says, take a route that you don't know anything about, but it's different than what you normally do. I want to ask you which one you would take. So who would like to answer? Somebody lift your hand. Come on, right back there. Micah, which would you take? Would you take the natural route or would you take a chance?
I would take a chance.
Why?
Because I don't like doing the normal thing. It's boring.
So it's boring. So you want to take the different route because it might be exciting, huh? Might be something different, okay? Someone else. Which one would you take? Somebody answer. Come on. Right back there. Star's right back there. Oh, wait. Okay. Just a minute, Star. We'll be to you.
Speaking from a soldier aspect and a mom aspect, I'd say I'd take the normal route just out of safety and security of my routine. I know my environment. I know my territory. And I have no for surprises. There's no chance of surprise on that one.
Okay, so you would take the normal. Okay, so grab Star over here, John. See what she would say.
I know I'd take the normal route, too, but it's because I'm always late, and I wouldn't have time to take
the Okay, because you're late. All right, good. Anyone else? Who would take which? Somebody answer this question. Which would you take? Okay, Donna?
I would take the detour because I just heard that it stimulates your brain to be more active and younger. So.
Oh, makes you younger?
Younger.
Yeah, younger. But, no, I would take the detour anyway because I'm with Micah. I want some adventure.
Okay, you want adventure. All right. One more person. Who else? Right back, right up here, Brittany. Let's give her a chance to answer this question.
I would definitely also take the detour because I never like to go anywhere the same way. I always go different ways everywhere because I like different scenery. So.
Okay, so you like the different because it keeps you young? Oh, okay. All right, good. Well, that's kind of where we're at right here is we could either go on to the normal routine that's safe, and that's okay. There's nothing primarily wrong with that. Or every once in a while we could shake it up. And I'm gonna see today how we can shake it up. Now, one of the ways you can shake it up is to be a part of one of these teams. And today, we have a little video for you that will help you see how you can be a part of Faith in Action by joining a team. Let's watch the A team. You see, Beverly, she needed help, right? And so they came running, that A team. Dangerous mission there, mowing the lawn. I think Caleb got his lawn mowed out of that somehow. I don't know. If that was faith in action or what? Oh, crossing. All right. Well, I'm sure glad that house didn't really blow up. Did that? That was your house, wasn't it? So I'm blowing up at the end. Thank you, Caleb, for the video. All right. So we talked about taking a detour or going the path that we're used to going, the usual route, the route that we would use to go. And everybody had good reasons for why they would choose or what they would choose. In any way, any shape or form, if you're on a mission for God, it doesn't matter whether you're on your regular routine, as safe as it may seem, or you're like one of those who like to go for it and go in a different way, you can be used by God as you put your faith into action. And so today we're going to talk about a story, a divine detour, that a story probably you're very familiar with, and it's found in Luke chapter 10. So if you want to look there in your Bible, please do so. And we're going to look at different sections of this great story about the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 28 says this. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." Now, sometime during Jesus' Judean ministry, when he was around Judea, he ran into a guy, a guy named Nicodemus, which was an expert in the law. He was a guy who, this man that he was talking to, was an expert. He knew the law. He knew what was to be done and how to keep the law. There was three basic rules or ideas of what this guy was to do. One, he was to explain the requirements of the law. That's one of the jobs that he had, this guy that Jesus is talking to require, tell people what was required of them by the law. The second thing that he was called to do was to keep alive the memories of the people of the past, like the prophets and the Old Testament people, and to keep their stories alive. So this teacher of the law would do that. And then thirdly, he was trained to train others in the knowledge of the law so that they knew how it worked in their life and how they could apply the law to their life. But in this little scripture reading, did you catch the motive of the teacher? I mean, of the guy of the law, the teacher of the law. Did you catch his motive? The motive was what? To test Jesus. He wanted to test him. And so Jesus, I love how he does this, because here he is on his journey. He runs into this teacher of the law, and the first thing the guy wants to do is test him. Now, those of you that are teachers, you'll love Jesus' example to you, because as being the teacher, how many of you know he turned the test around? He said, "What do you say we should do? What's the law say? What's the law of Moses? You're the expert. What do you think you should do?" And he said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "A plus." She answered the question right. But then he says, "Do this and you will live." In other words, put your faith into action and you'll live. Now, this teacher of the law had the same problem many Christians have in America today. We know what we should do. We know that we should serve others. We know that we should reach out and touch those in need. We know that we should give freely to the work of the Lord. We know we should give of our time and energy and increase our money and all of those kinds of ways. We should give that. We know we should, but how many of you know many Christians in America just go to church, do the service, go home, and that's the end of their faith? Well, that's how this guy was. He knew all the right words. He knew all the right things to say. But Jesus said, you get A plus in explaining it, but you're not going to get a very good grade until you go out and do it. Jesus wants us to put our faith into action. So I love Jesus' response to him. He says, you do this. Go out and do it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just have the right ideology. Don't just have the right answers to the questions. Go and do what the Word of God says to do. Now, I'll tell you, offense meant to those who might take the safe way in that answer that I was asking before, because those are some good reasons for staying safe. I like what Lisa said. She said, it's safe, it's comfortable, it's my area, it's what I know. And when I'm as a mom, I want to be careful to not subject my kids to things that might be dangerous. That's a good reason. However, we also need to recognize that many of the things that Jesus did, many of the miracles that he performed as he was on his way to do something else. You ever notice that? Jesus was on his way one day to heal a child, and somebody had sent for him, and it was while he was going on his way that this little woman comes out of the crowd and touches the hem of his garment. And he says, "Who touched me?" And he turns around and here's this little lady who was an outcast. She, because of her bleeding for 12 years, she was not to be in the public. And he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples go, "Are you crazy? Everybody's touching you. What do you mean? He said, "No, I felt a touch different. Something went out of me. Somebody touched me in faith." And so here's the little lady. She's just embarrassed. But she had gone for it. She got out of her comfort zone. She got out of the normal. She came out of the crowd and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, saying in her heart and mind, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be whole." This woman was a woman who had no purpose in life. She was outcast. She was unclean. Nobody could touch her. Nobody could have anything to do with her because she was bleeding for 12 years. And Jesus said to her, "Your faith has made you whole." Now, what was it that created the faith? It was movement. She moved out of her comfort zone and she moved towards the one who could touch her. In this case, Jesus. And some of us, if we're ever going to get past where we are of sitting in the pew, because you know I say it often, he who sits in his own pew stinketh, right? And I notice some of you today are sitting in different places because maybe somebody's sitting in your seat. I hope you're sitting in a different place because from that perspective, you may hear or see something you would have not seen or heard in your normal spot. Now, it can be safe, but sometimes we need to go out of the routine. This woman, she comes out of the normal of being back in the back and nobody noticing her and being an outcast, to right out on the front scene, touching the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, "Your faith made you whole." You want wholeness in your life? You got to step out of your norm. You got to be willing to do something that's a little bit difficult, that stretches you. For many, many years in ministry, I traveled around and spoke at a lot of youth conferences and camps and things like that. And I love doing it because kids are so good about responding to your message. You can get a youth group all real pumped up pretty quick and get them to respond if you just, talk about the things that interest them. And many of those kids would come forward and they would come down to the altar. And they would break through with God and they'd have a great experience and give their life back to the Lord. And then they would go home and they'd get right back in the same ruts and routines they were in. And next year at camp or conference, they would come and they would get excited. God would touch their life and they would come down and they were sincere as they could be, but they'd cry and they would cry out to God and they'd hug on each other and they'd say, "I'm making a commitment. I'm going to follow Jesus this year." And they made it till Thursday of the next week and they were right back into the rut and the routine they were in. What helps a person make a decision for Jesus and then stay there and not be wishy-washy back and forth? I'll tell you what it is. It's when we begin to put our faith into action. Don't have faith that sits still. Have faith that acts. It begins to reach out and touch other people. It begins to look beyond ourselves and see the needs of others and go out of our way to meet that need. That's what God wants of his people in this day. We were talking about this the other day on a Wednesday night. And basically what we have is somewhat of a lazy church in America. A church that's literally sleeping. And while we're sleeping, the fastest growing religion in the world is also the fastest growing religion in America. And it's the Muslim religion. It's outgrowing us. You know why? Because we're lazy, the church. Now, don't get offended. I'm talking about me. It's easy to go through the motions. I've got enough stuff to get ready each week just to get the services to stay on track. Just to be able to get from one service to the other. I have enough work to do with my counseling and caregiving of people in the church that I can be busy every day doing a lot of stuff for people and never reach my world. Never get outside these doors. I have an office, and sometimes I spend way too much time in it because there's people who are in need. And so it is that Christians many times love the Lord with all their heart. It's not the problem. That's what the teacher of the law said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, A+, good answer. But now you got to do something about it. And unfortunately, many Christians never get there. Many Christians in America are happy sitting in a building like this where it's somewhat comfortable. Some are a little cool and some might be a little hot. I see people sometimes in the same building, fanning and the other is putting on a jacket. I never have figured out how to get it just right for a whole congregation. It's just hard. I'm up here sweating, running down my back right now, and I see people like my daughter-in-law putting on a blanket. And we spend an immense amount of energy talking about it was too cold in the sanctuary today, or it was too hot in the sanctuary today, or the music was too loud or it wasn't loud enough, or so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. I wish they would have done this way. I wish they would have done it that way. And we spend a lot of time with energy about that stuff when all outside this door are people dying and going to hell. Do you understand what I mean? We've got to put our faith into action. Now, not the only action is painting a fence in Veterans Park. That's not all there is to putting our faith into action. But it's a starting place. It's a place to kick off. And say, hey, listen, I want to put my faith into action. And when you do, God will honor that action and he'll give you opportunities to win your friends and your loved ones to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm preaching my guts out in here and you're just looking at me. So let's make a deal. I'll preach faster if you'll listen faster. And I do it better if you amen me every once in a while and act like you enjoy this. I want to get to lunch soon. Start saying something around here. Amen. Woo. Now, there's another motive in this story that you need to see before we throw those 4 points out real quick. Verse 29 of Luke 10 says, the man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? What was his motive? His motive was to justify his actions. Many times Christians are like that too. We want to justify our actions. So we make up all kinds of reasons and excuses why we can't be involved. Why we can't get involved in the things of the kingdom. Now, I know that this sermon really doesn't apply to anybody in this room, but somebody that listens by virtue of the internet or on a CD, I know I'm speaking probably to you because all the people seated here in the building are perfect at this. So just in case there might be anybody listening that this would apply to, please put your faith into action. What was the motive? To justify themselves. We're really good at that. We Christians, aren't we? Well, you know, I give my 3.5%. Now, I'm not big on talking about money, but we really need you to be faithful right now, honestly. Yes. But the truth of the matter is that the average Christian in America gives less than 3%. We're not a tithing church anymore because tithing means tenth. Now you say, I do. Well, good. But don't get satisfied and settled in that because God may want you to give more. But he may not want you to give more money. Sometimes he just wants to give you to give more of you, your time, your resources, your abilities, your giftings, your strength. He wants to give you to give your life away. Listen, I believe Jesus is coming soon. And we better get busy because there's a lot of people that you love and care for that are not going to make it to a place called heaven. Jesus himself said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter. Be careful. We need to get busy. Jesus is talking to this man. He said, look, don't just talk about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do it. Love has to have action. Okay? Then the guy wants to justify him, says, so who's my neighbor? How many of you know that that's a big question? Who's the neighbor? Wanted to excuse ourselves because we don't really know what the neighbor is. Well, who's my neighbor? Is it the person that lives at the house next to me in my neighborhood? Or is it the person seated in the seat next to me here in the church sanctuary? Anyone that's not you. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? The guy asked the question. He didn't have the answer just in that. He has his own, he wants to justify himself. Well, who is my neighbor? Let's get technical about it. Who is my neighbor? Is it people who wear red shirts or black shirts? Green shirts or pink shirts? Is it somebody who's, I know their name or I don't know their name? Who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus answers the question with a story. The reason why sermons are so long is because we take after our Savior, we preachers. There's a story for everything. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 37. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's about a 17-mile journey, but it's about 3,300 feet different in elevation. He's going along this trip. I rode a camel last May in Jericho. So I'm glad I didn't ride it all the way to Jerusalem. That was, bad enough in the bus. Anyway, he was on his trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. He did that because the man was bleeding, so the priest, if he touched him, would be unclean. He wouldn't be able to do his duty. Okay? I mean, you know, sometimes we miss the real ministry for trying to do the duty. Now, if you think that duty is a word for something else, you're right. Okay. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed the other side of the road and passed him by. And a temple assistant or a Levite walked over and looked at him lying there. At least he went over and looked at him. How many of you know some people just are looking to see if anything's going to happen? He looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. And then you would imagine that the next person in the story, unless you've read the story, would be a Jew. But it's not. It's a Samaritan. A Samaritan was an outcast, a mixed breed. 700 years before this, Israel had been attacked by Assyria. And the children that was born out of that attack were called Samaritans. They were not Jews. They were not Greeks. They were a half-breed. And they were not accepted by anybody. And for Jesus to use this man, a Samaritan, for the hero of the story, would have turned this teacher of the law on his ear. Okay? Because you have Mama Bear and Papa Bear and a skunk in this story. Okay? That's kind of how bad they thought about the Samaritan. So anyway, a Samaritan, a despised Samaritan, came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was the neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked this religious guy. Well, the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Now quickly, a priest and a Levite go by, and honestly, they both go on the other side of the road because they're afraid to touch somebody unclean. Sometimes we're afraid that if we go into someone's life that doesn't live for God, that somehow we're going to be touched by that and all of a sudden have real problems. Now listen, Jesus is sending you to the broken, bloody people of this world. They may not be bloody on the outside, but there are broken, busted, beat up people all around you. People are being beat up by this world. They're being lied to by the media. They don't know what's next. They don't know if their Social Security is going to last, if there's ever going to be a Social Security when they get old enough. There's people wondering if they're going to be able to have a job in America today. There's worry all around, and people are beat up, bruised up, busted up, broken up. And Jesus is sending us to that busted, broken world. And listen, we can't be happy watching from the sideline. We can't be happy going down the other side of the road. We got to get involved. We got to involve ourselves in that person's life. And that's the four things I want to give you before we go. Number one on your paper, a detour. This detour took a risk. And anytime you're going to take a detour and go out of the normal way that you usually go, it's going to take a risk. It takes a risk. There's a town in southwestern Colorado. I like it because it's called Telluride. It's a great resort and a ski place now. But back in the old West days, it was actually short for To Hell You Ride. That's what it stood for. In other words, this area in southwestern Colorado was very, very dangerous for people to ride through. It was a bloody place. People died there a lot. It had a lot of places for bad people to get set up on each side of the road and to kill people that were coming by. Well, this place, Jericho to Jerusalem, was just like that. It was a place called the Way of the Blood. It descended 3,300 feet through desert and rocky country. And anybody traveling that journey was susceptible to be attacked. It's going to take a risk to reach your world. Number two, a detour is going to take personal involvement. This Samaritan came along and he saw this person and he felt compassion. And going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with oil and wine. The oil would have kept the wound supple or workable, and the wine would have be used as like an antiseptic or to keep it from getting infection in it. And so he put in the oil and the wine. In order to reach the man, I know I'm going over, but we had a lot to do today, so hang in there with me for a minute. For the man to get involved, he had to get into the ditch with the broken man. When he came up out of the ditch, the Samaritan would have looked like he'd been beaten because he would have had blood on him and he would have had the dirt of the ditch. If you're ever going to get involved and put your faith into action, it can get messy. It's going to take a personal involvement to ever get a help to our world. If you're going to ever love your neighbor, don't let personal involvement be your excuse for getting involved. Number three, the detour took time. The Samaritan puts the man on his donkey. And he takes him to an inn, which might have been a hospital type of a place. But it would have been a place people stayed. And he took care of him. He personally took care of him. It took his time. It took his energy. He had to stop. He had to slow his own personal progress down in his journey and take the man to a place that he could get him some help. Sometimes we use our schedules as an excuse to not get involved in people's lives. And lastly, a detour took money. that took money. The next day after he had cared for him overnight, he goes in and he hands the innkeeper 2 silver coins. And he said, take care of this man. And if the bill runs higher than that, when I come back by, I'll pay you for it. So here the man not only takes care of him himself, but he leaves him there with some money to take care of him. These 2 silver coins represented 2 days' wages. So not only did he give up his time, but he gave up his resource. He could have been making money those 2 days. So he didn't make the money, the silver coins, plus he gave the silver coins away. It was a sacrifice. If you're going to put your faith into action, don't let money be the reason you don't help. Jesus asked the teacher of the law back to that guy. He says, now which of these would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by a bandit? And he said, the guy who showed mercy, the guy that had compassion. So Justin answered properly, who is my neighbor? It's anybody that's not me. It's anybody you come in contact with. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. Sometimes it's going to cost you money. But if we don't put our faith into action and get personally involved, we're going to see our world completely continue to fall apart. When are we going to get busy? I'm happy to sit in here and have good holding hands and sing Kumbaya around the front of the building. That's fun, safe, it's easy. Doesn't require anything. But if you want to change your world, you're going to have to get involved. And that's what this Faith in Action series is about. And I hope that today you may still take the safe, non-detour route like Lisa was talking about in life about natural things. But let me tell you something. On your road, whether you take the detour or you don't, there are people who are broken and busted and hurting. And my question to you is, will you stop? Will you get personally involved? Will you get involved with your money, your time, your energy, your gifting? And in a small way, would you start with one of these 5 things? And before you leave today, the greatest way you could respond to this message is to put your name on that wall over there and say, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to move past my comfort zone, and I'm going to get involved in reaching other people for Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time in your word. We've had so many things to do today. And Lord, all the things that we did honored people and honored your name and your will and way. But Lord, it's got to go beyond here. It's got to go beyond just our times together in a sanctuary, enjoying the pleasures of a church safety. Somewhere, Lord, we've got to be willing to get beyond our safety and touch the broken, busted, beat up people of our world in Jesus' name. Lord, let us be the church alive and active. Let our faith be alive and active. Help us to put our faith into action. And in these next few weeks, Lord, as we preach and share about the things that you would have us to minister, I pray that it'll challenge our hearts, that it'll challenge us in all that we do. And on October 3rd, Lord, I pray that we would go out as a force, the church as a force, into a world that's lost and dying. And in the midst of that, touch the little lady that needs her yard work done. Touch Cindy's life as we move her stuff. Touch Loretta's life as we help with her yard work and the things that are there. And help us touch our city as we go out and put a paintbrush on some metal pipe. And somehow by doing so, reach a city. Give us opportunities. Give us ways. And Lord, let that only be the beginning point of which we began to reach out to our neighbor by paying for the person's meal behind us in the drive-thru, by taking time to buy the coffee for the person that's behind us, a few people in the coffee line. Let us reach out and touch the broken person, that single mom who needs her oil changed, and we could do that. Let us reach out to the little lady that's in the restaurant that's got her kids running wild and she can't control them and she feels uncomfortable about their noise. Let us reach out with the love and the grace of God to hurting people. Lord, help us to reach out to our neighbor in our actual neighborhoods. Mow a little extra. Speak a little word of life. Take a cake. Whatever it is that we could do, let us be people who are active in our faith and put our faith into action. As we kick off this series, Lord, I pray that it will be life-changing to all of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship.